So we have satisfied the interview portion of the program, meaning we are open phones. I've got takes to carry the hour, easily done, but I would invite you to take part. 1-800-636-8686. After all, the smack off is in 39 days now. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. Buy Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We had Scott Frost. Lincoln, Nebraska remains an amazing jungle town. So if you Cornhusker fans want to come in and talk about what you saw at the end of last year, go ahead and hit me up right now. They won four of their last six. As I mentioned, the two games they lost were to single digits. Tough games. They were putting points up. Offense was moving the ball. The foundation was being laid. I love what I see from Scott Frost and Nebraska. It's going to take a little bit of time. I thought he was really honest in answering. You know, I knew that it was not the way it was, and we had to get it back to where it was. But maybe I didn't know quite how far it had fallen until I got in it. He said, but we're back on track. John Urschel, an MIT student and former NFLer, came in last hour. Ben Golliver recapped the entire NBA weekend with us, too. Also, this segment, sponsored by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. All right, so rare is the story that it's going to jump from the weekend all the way from a Friday afternoon, especially when the Monday is coming off two game sevens and another Houston Rockets meltdown. But that Laker fan protest that I previewed on Friday, and I don't want to get to the hiring of the new head coach until I get to the Laker fan protest. Let's close the book on that thing. That was so much more pathetic than I could have ever imagined that I have to talk about that first. Quickly, let me reset for anybody who missed it. This past Friday, I talked about a scheduled protest that was happening at Staples Center. The protest was put on by some Reddit user who wanted disgruntled Laker fans to gather outside the arena and peacefully voice their displeasure with the dysfunction of the Laker front office. This guy told a local radio station that he thought the protest would probably bring out between 60 and 80 people. Between his announced RSVPs and the actual protest, I said on this show, remember, I said this, quote, "This is the most colossal waste of time I have ever heard of, and these idiots are going to make the LeBron mural vandalizers look good by comparison." Well, as always, I'm here to own it and admit I was wrong, because it was far more pathetic than even I could have forecasted. Turns out the predicted showing of 60 to 80 people was a little bit too high, like 45 people too high. And by all accounts from Twitter and the assembled media, there were more statues in Star Plaza than actual protesters. So what do you do when only 14 people show up to bring down an entire organization? If it were me and I were one of the 14, I'd keep right on walking. I'd pretend that I was in the area for something else and that I was not one of the 14. I would take one look at that pathetic turnout and head the opposite way and act like I was never stupid enough to attend in the first place. Unfortunately, that is not what happened. Instead, the protest got underway. It carried on. And it got started with an earth-shattering chant from six dudes whose voices reverberated throughout the entire Southland.
No more Rambis! 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 No more Rambis!
Now, what do you think when you hear that? Like, sounds like one guy chanting, no more Rambis, no more Rambis. What is that? I'll tell you what that is. That's the sound of anger. That's the sound of discontent. That's the sound of change. Yeah, just kidding. That's the sound of six morons who carried a chant 8 times before flaming out. Yeah, right about now, I sure hope that Linda or Kurt or whoever the hell that was directed at, I hope they're all right, because that was a savage takedown. Can't imagine that felt very good, to watch a group of people who couldn't even field a baseball team just tearing you apart like that. And then there was this Laker bro on KCAL 9 who didn't just want Rambis gone, he wanted everybody gone.
We want a star. We want another star free agent.
How about Kyrie Irving?
KD?
I want Kyrie Irving.
Who do you want fired?
We want to fire everyone who's making this organization not get to the playoffs.
Now, there's some logic. That's pretty rational. The logic of a Laker bro demanding everybody be fired because he wants another superstar. Bro, free agency is not officially started yet. You can't just add another superstar. And that 35 mil that's burning a hole in your pocket, what good is having 35 mil if nobody wants it? But stay hot, Laker bro. Stay hot. Then there was this guy who made an extremely compelling argument that he's next in the family line to get a championship. That he, in fact, is entitled to a championship because everybody else in his family who matters has their own already.
My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. What's he brought me? Nothing. I want rings.
My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. What's he brought me?
My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. What's he brought me? Nothing. I want rings.
Boy, look at the entitlement of that Laker bro. My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. My dog had Rick Fox. My driver's ed teacher had Derek Fisher. My Yogurtland cashier had Andrew Bynum. My babysitter had Kwame. Settle down, bro. No one cares about your 23andMe DNA report. I'm 4.5% Clipper and 17% Laker. Man, nobody cares. You're only getting on camera. You're only getting FaceTime because there's like 50 news reporters and they can't come back with nothing. 50 news reporters and 14 people to interview, man. Chill the hell out. But that star of the show was without question the dude who rolled in a suit with his face painted, half purple, half yellow, and his hair up in a man bun. Man, style points for days. There's business casual, and then there's business braveheart. And this guy looked like your IT dude from the neck down, but William Wallace from the neck up. It was an amazing look. The only thing better than his look was his actual take.
First things first, fire everyone. Second thing, get all the best players back.
First things first, fire everyone. Second thing, get all your best players back. Look the hell out, Rob Pelinka. My man's Danny Ainge, Bob Myers, Pat Riley, Jerry West, Daryl Morey, all rolled into one. Logic like that, fire everyone, get all the best players back. Right, bring them all back. Irv, Kobe, the Logue, Ream, Gasol, bring them all back. But only after you fire everybody first. You tell them, Braveheart. Friend of the program. So maybe you think this is just me killing these guys for no reason. All right, go to a higher authority than me. Good friend of the program. Arash Markazi. My man Arash published an article for the LA Times, and the headline screamed, Lakers fan protest, arguably a rock bottom moment for storied franchise. A rock bottom moment or the rock bottom moment? That should give you some idea of how things went on Friday. Twitter also, and if Twitter says so, it must be so. Twitter also dubbed it the most pathetic protest in the history of protests. So far, no word from Jeannie Buss if she was moved to sell the team. But they did hire Frank Vogel. So maybe that protest worked? Kinda? Sorta? Not really? The losers of the event are all 14 morons that showed up for it. The winners are everybody in the world that didn't. May we never, ever have to spend this much time on a pathetic gathering of clowns ever again. And the only ones who look worse than those 14 losers is the organization that those 14 losers were trying to bring down.
My uncle had Magic. My brother had Kobe. I have LeBron. What's he brought me? Nothing. I want rings.
There's some pretty good logic. My uncle had Magic. My great-great-uncle had Kareem. My great-great-great-great-grandfather had George Mikan. My dentist had Smush Parker. My apartment manager had Devin George. My high school counselor had Travis Knight. My chiropractor had Mark Mattson. And I have LeBron. What's that scrub brought me? Nothing, man.
Thank you.
Give me my freaking rings. Peace, I'm out. Let's go home and watch ourselves on the news. God, that was embarrassing. Back to the phones. It is officially Smack-Off season. This guy has a standing invite to any Smack-Off he wants to be a part of. No, he has not won it, but he's that good. Right to the front of the line, Mark in Boston. Mark, what's going on, man? How are you?
What's up, Jim? No time for formalities. Hey, Rick, you're absolutely right, man. The odds are off. Your dumbass is too high on the list. Quantity has never been better than quality, dude. Ask the Canadians. Jimmy, I got a hit on John Beilein. Super bummed to hear the coach is moving on to the NBA. I mean, it would be really bad if, like, someone had a tattoo of the guy on his arm or something. That would be really embarrassing. But, hey, HBO, way to get one of the most remarkable and wanted figures for a cameo and have it land flat on its face. No, I'm not talking about Left blowing up that absolute layup with Larry Brown. I'm talking about blowing up, literally, Aaron Rodgers on Game of Thrones. Good job, guys. Speaking of the odds, Jim, a couple things stick out. First, Caleb in Green Bay has the third highest odds to win at plus 500. It's not very nice, Steve. If you're going to make a joke about the dude's weight, at least make it accurate, like plus 325 or something. Hashtag fat. And I know his good brother Carl is in the field. Carl, how in the world will you ever compete in a contest where you need a fake tough guy voice, have to role play, and even though the winner is predetermined, cough, Brad. Speaking of Brad, good bro, you're really going to get along with Brad. You both shave your entire body, slip into barely fitting underwear, and have dudes all over you. My point is, Carl, you're going to do just fine. We may not have Macho Man Randy Savage, but we do have Nacho Man Caleb in Green Bay, a.k.a. The Bundertaker. But that guy's never wrestled in his life, so no worries there. We don't have a dude in the field named The Rock, but we've got a guy like Nooch from Arkansas that looks like he smokes them. We do have a couple of good brothers, those two losers, the Dottolas. I mean, they haven't been relevant in 20 years, but neither is the WWE, so I digress. Jim, every wrestler has their own finishing move, so I'm going to go ahead and RSVP here. Jim, you can officially count me in for the Smack-Off, okay? And Jimmy, let me tell you something. On June 21st, the whole field is getting into a cage match with your boy. You hear that, Nacho Man? You hear that, B-I-T-C-H in Corona? Midwest Mafia, I'm taking all you clowns down. Rack me, Jim. I'll be there. Yeah.
I'll do it. Rack him, Alvy. Mark in Boston. Savage. I love that RSVP. Not every part of that RSVP. Some of that RSVP could have got him running, probably should have. Except we know where he will be the day of the Smack-Off. He could win it. You got to be in it to win it. And he's in it. He's talking about the odds. Stucknut came out with the odds. I've got thoughts on the odds as well. Taking a run at my man, the good bro. The good brother. I don't need to stick up for the good brother. He can handle his own business. We know this. At M. Piazza's, Backney is back again. I don't know what that Laker fan's complaining about. I brought championships to the Lakers. Regards, Dwight.
No matter how the season ends, you know, I'm still a champion. I won't let anybody tell me anything different.
Right, and I'm still an NFL Hall of Famer. And I'm not going to let anybody tell me any different. That's why I'm walking around in my mustard jacket. Well, I'm in the Hall of Fame. Rome, you've never even played football. You know, I'm not going to let anybody tell me any different. I'm in the Hall of Fame. Ask Dwight.
No matter how the season ends, you know, I'm still a champion. I won't let anybody tell me anything.
I mean,
different.
No matter how my career ends, no matter that I've never played football, I'm still in the NFL Hall of Fame. Jamie in Green Bay tweets, the Clipper bros were way cooler than these Laker bros.
Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Way cooler. Just like the Clipper organization is way better than the Laker organization right now.
First things first, fire everyone. Second thing, get all the best players back.
Third thing, y'all a bunch of imbeciles. Who thought that was a good idea? Who among those 14 bros, not one of them looked around and said, hey man, let's keep moving. This is not a good idea. This is going to go really badly for us. Abort, abort, abort. Abandon ship. No, man. If you had that mindset, you would have never gotten anywhere near Staples Center. No, you wanted to be there. They put themselves there. They willingly drove themselves there or picked up one of those little scooters that you can rent and just drop when you're done and went over there and then went looking for microphones and cameras, which they found. Going back to Rick's call, this was the reaction back then. Ed Brendan Webb tweeted, if Rick's calling in the middle of the school day, you know that effing giant means business. Rick always calls in the middle of the school day. This show happens to be in the middle of the school day. When else would he call? But he is an effing giant, and he always means business.
Giants.
At J. Pep, the smack off is over. Give him the crown and five GER today. Rick is the man. Relax, Jay. I mean, Rick might be the man. I love Rick as much as I can, being objective. But what do you say maybe we actually have the smack off? What do you say we play this one out 39 days from now? Listen to this guy. It's over. Shut it down. Let's go home. Oh, you think I should scratch him a check right now? Should I do that? Before Brad even gets a call? Before Leffy even makes a call? Before we find out whether or not Mikey and Indy is going to call? Before the Canadian bros get their shot? Before Mark in Buffalo gets his? Should I just stroke that check right now? At Drunk Bowler 857 tweets, War Rick in Buffalo, bringing the first major championship to Western New York. He could. He might. All right, when we return, I still haven't talked about the Blazers, not the way I want to. I still haven't talked about Golden State's win over the Rockets the way I want to. But I will. So what happens to you when you head into your man cave and you go to watch a game, but the remote is missing? Oh, wait, there's the DVD remote. Great. The streaming remote, but where is my TV remote? It is time for a Control Center by Cavo, the one universal remote that does it all. Control Center manages all of your content so you can control everything connected to your TV with one easy-to-use, voice-controlled remote. And you can turn on the TV from anywhere with the Cavo mobile app. Setup is easy. You plug in your streamer, your sound system, your cable or your satellite, even your game console, and Control Center will handle everything else. Make life in the man cave easier with the Control Center by Cavo. Shop right now, save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack bundle with a one-year service plan included with promo code ROME. Again, $10 off the regular price of $89.95 with the promo code ROME at caavo.com. Control Center is available at caavo.com. Best Buy service plan required. First 45 days free. See the website for details. Control Center by Cavo. One remote that does it all.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
This segment is brought to you by Grasshopper, the virtual phone system for small business. Separate business from personal and feel more professional in your customer interactions with the Grasshopper business phone solution. Better small business communication starts with Grasshopper. Try it for free at grasshopper.com. All right, so because I've done this show as long as I have, because I understand this business the way I do, because I'm as good at this as I am, because I'm as astute as I am, there are things that I do understand. Namely, and especially when we started to broadcast this show on CBS Sports Network, there are people that are jumping around in the middle of the day on television and they land on this show. But imagine if you don't know the show that well and you just drop in from 30,000 feet in the middle of the show. You can imagine where it might be a little bit overwhelming. Like, you might not know exactly what's going on, which is why back in the day, I haven't said this in a long time, but I used to always say, give the show 2 weeks. Give the show 2 weeks because I probably don't sound like anybody you've ever heard before. And I understand that sounds ridiculous right now, but imagine 20 years ago. Give it 2 weeks. You're not accustomed to a host doing and saying the things that I do and I say. And that there are characters on the program that you wouldn't know unless you listen to it, and then it will start to make more sense. I go now to Adam Hawk, the executive producer of this program. So, Adam, I couldn't possibly know every conversation that you have with everybody because you turn away a number of people that never make it to air. Tell me about the conversation you just had with somebody who did not want to come on air.
Sure. A guy from Pennsylvania called up after Mark in Boston's RSVP call, and he was very distraught with what he had just heard. He said he didn't understand a bleeping thing. How the hell am I supposed to know what the hell this guy is talking about? He used the term different language. He goes, it was as if this guy was speaking a different language. I don't understand anything he's referencing. I didn't understand any of that 90-second phone call. What am I supposed to do if I just flip this on? He was very upset about it. And then I told him, man,
did he F-bomb you?
Yeah, he used some language with me, absolutely. Yeah, he was upset. He wanted his hardcore sports fix, you know, but he was getting a hardcore jungle call, which is arguably what has made this show so awesome, and he just doesn't get it.
I'm arguably what has made this show so awesome.
Well, there are different facets, right? It's a universe that's been created.
Yeah, anyway, Hawk.
There are aspects of the universe.
Stop giving me your opinions of what makes this show great, because you wouldn't know. And just tell me what this guy said. So this guy was really unhappy, though. He was like, do you think that he was watching on CBS Sports Network and just dropped in? He's like, all right, we're coming off a couple of game sevens. There's a lot going on. Let's find out what's going on. And he dropped in on Mark. Is that what happened?
Exactly. Yeah. And he didn't understand anything that was being said. He wanted me to translate some of it. He said he was like, who's this Rick guy? Who's this Caleb guy? Who's this Stucknut guy? And then when you think back to it, he kind of has a point.
He picked up more than I would have thought.
Right. I'm sure he was just intrigued as hell and like, what is this? And then when you think back on it, he does have a point. If you didn't know the show, you would have no idea one word Mark and Boston just said.
Right.
Like, so, not a word.
What did you try to put him on the air? Did you say to him, bro, just breathe through it and watch for a little while and then it will all come clear?
Yeah, I said, you know, if you stick around for a little bit, you'll start to understand these references and then they'll hit hard and they're really funny when you get it. There are a lot of people that understood what Mark just said and it was awesome and we're less than 40 days out from the smack off. So you're probably going to hear more of this than you think.
Right.
And you should start to learn the references because they're really funny and it's going to make June 21st awesome. So get on board, dude. And then I said, you want to go on the air? And he said, nah. And then he hung up.
There you go. All right. Adam, way to handle that. Not bad at all. Listen, we understand this, but this whole argument, listen, you may not like me. You may hate me. You may not appreciate my point of view. You might not like the way or where I'm coming from when it comes to my rants. My interviews, that's fine. I get it. The show's not for everybody. But do not come in here and say, oh, it's so inside. It's like any show, anywhere, radio, TV, digital, streaming. If you've never seen a show or heard a show, you wouldn't know the characters. You wouldn't know the storylines. This is not inside. This is no different than any other show. As an example, say you had never seen, I don't know, Happy Days. You wouldn't know who the Fonz was or what he was all about. Game of Thrones. If you're one of those people that have never seen that show, you wouldn't know any of the characters or what that was about. The Jungle, same thing. If you drop in the middle of an episode and Mark in Buffalo is going off, Boston is going off on Rick in Buffalo, I should say. you wouldn't know who Mark or Rick are. So instead of F-bombing my EP, man, just breathe through it, pull up a chair, listen to it. You'll probably like it, and it will not be that hard to figure out. You don't need to be a mathematician studying for a doctoral at MIT to figure this show out. It's not that hard. It's not chess. It's not even checkers, man. This show's like tic-tac-toe. It's easy. Three X's in a row and you win. Take it easy, man. Don't get all personal about it. Start F-bombing everybody because you don't know what language that guy's speaking. It's not that hard to decode, honestly. 1-800-636-8686. Like this guy. This guy speaks the language. This guy understands. Let's get another phone call in here. John in New York. John, my brother, what's up? How are you?
Jim, how's it going? You're absolutely right. It's a culture, it's a family, and if people want to get down, they got to listen. Simple as that.
That's it. That's it. You know it.
No, there's no place I'd rather be, because after that brick was released from Kawhi, when he knelt in the corner, he had like a remote. Four bounces later, the fans go berserk, and Joel turns into Jeff in San Antonio. And I felt bad for Joel for a second, and then I thought about how he trolled, him and Ben trolled the Nets, and I said to myself, karma's a bitch. And then when I heard the news about John Beilein break, the only thing I thought about was great. I said, at some point between 12 and 3 today, I got to hear Rick and Buffalo go into labor with a take on how John Beilein is all this and all that, and Central New York this and Buffalo that and junior colleges this. And I wasn't looking forward to it. But, Jim, someday when egos and images subside, you'll get your just due, because this show deserves to be on the radio in New York. Jim, wore the solar eclipse in the control room when James Kelly sits in front of the new guy on Fridays. And thanks for your time, Jim. I'm out.
My man, you rack John. I don't play favorites. Just rack him. And do it now. I can't lie to you.
Rack him.
I would very much like to be on in New York. Other than that time that I was on in New York, I've always been very eager to be on in New York. But we are on CBS Sports Network. And Sirius 206. And streaming on jimrome.com. And the radio.com app. Pretty much 10 different ways that I'm on in New York, to be honest. Just not on that station that you want me to be on in New York. But again, it's 2019. You don't hear radio shows on radio stations exclusively. Matt in Vancouver. Another guy that the guy who called Hawk, who couldn't understand this show, probably would have no idea about. Because Matt in Vancouver, if there are, I don't know, 20 callers on this show, 15 callers on this show, they're always part of the conversation of the show. Matt is one of them. At Belligerent Nuck tweets, if my first exposure to the jungle was freaking Mark in Boston, I'd be pissed too. That's why Matt is one of the 15. That's good. I wouldn't be pissed. Look, I agree. I'd be confused. If that was my first exposure to this talk show, and I was just dialing around 206 or whatever, 221, and I landed, oh yeah, Rome, I remember that guy. Yeah, I don't like that guy. Anyway, let's see what's going on. Let's go now to Boston, Mark. And Mark did what he did. I'd probably be as pissed as that guy. Maybe not as pissed. I'd be confused. I'm just saying, it does not take long to figure out. If you want something more straightforward, that's a little bit more accessible, I have a podcast too. In fact, I've got a few podcasts. Short time out. When we return, hey, look, we started the conversation. We may as well finish it. Smack off odds. And the date coming up next. Portland and Golden State. Two fat, enormous, or I should say fat jungle teams in the conference finals. Kawhi v. Giannis. Hey, what's your face, whoever you were who hung up on Hawk? Is that better? Western Conference Finals, who you got? Giannis, Kawhi, who you got? Philadelphia, is it time to break up the Sixers? You want that? I can do that. Everybody does. Giannis or Kawhi, go to my Twitter feed for the poll question. Hit it hard. bottom of the hour sports update, and not a second too soon because it's like 5 minutes too late. Here it is. Good start to the week. Good show. Good Monday show. Even if you have no idea what anybody's talking about on the show, it was a good day. Almost there. Not quite. Time to answer your question for Ask the Pros. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Dear Jim, yesterday was Mother's Day, meaning you, like the rest of us, had to spend the day giving it up to the women in our lives and the mothers of our children. What did you, Rogan, and Jake do for Janet? Thanks, Kevin in Cedar Rapids. Thanks, Kev.
Rogan Low.
Dude, you know exactly what we did. I bet if I were to ask all of you, what did we do? A large percentage of you would get it. You know what we did? We went to Javier's for brunch. Of course. Went to Javier's, as we often do for Mother's Day, for brunch. And then the entire party came back to our house to watch basketball. That's what we did. You knew that. If you didn't know that, you should have known that. All right, my thoughts on the initial smack-off odds. But first, let's go to the phones. This guy's been on hold for pretty much the entirety of the program. He hung in. It's about to pay off. Alex in Denver. It's good to have you, Alex. How are you?
Pretty good, Rome. What's up, man?
What's
How you
up?
Doing?
Good, good, bud.
Yeah, dude. So, the reason I was able to be on hold so long is because the jungle karma has put me out of a job. That's right. So I work at the Pepsi Center. Yesterday, game seven, I actually do the catering and I did the post-game meal for the Blazers, so I'm sitting there waiting for all this stuff to get, you know, and I'm originally from Denver, so I'm waiting for all this stuff to get done, and Terry Stott, he's coming out of the media press conference room, and right as he walks by me, I just go, and I had two ways to go with this. I took the responsible way here, Rome, but I said, jungle karma, Terry, and he just smiled and laughed. And, you know, I mean, because you guys had our tourists back on last week or whatever, and the Nuggets scored 120 points at home. And I really thought ever since that call, the jungle karma has Terry Stotts. He outcoached Michael Malone in game six and game seven. So, Rome, I'm out of a job because of the jungle karma. And so I know that dude, Ross, I don't know what he does there.
Alex. Get to the shore! Shark! Shark, Alex! Swim, Alex!
Sound the horn to stop the fire.
Shark! Get out of the water! Get out of the water! Alex! There's a shark! But my man was settling in. Alright, so that guy who called who had no idea what that was about probably did not understand that either. When I play the Jaws music, that's a polite way of saying you're run without you getting run or broken off. I mean, you didn't do anything irresponsible. You didn't do anything reckless. You didn't insult anybody. You weren't horrible, horrible. You were just really bad and not getting better. So that's a nice way of running you off the stage. Like you're out of time. You know, like the award shows, when somebody's up there going, oh, wow, I can't even believe this happened. I hadn't even thought about who to thank. Okay, let me think of everybody I know, everybody I've ever met since I've been alive. Let me start running them down one by one. And then the music comes up, the Jaws music. They're trying to get you off the stage. That's you, bro. Now, Terry Stotts did come on. There was karma. Terry Stotts did come on Friday. And they did come back from 17 down on the road in game seven when Damian Lillard was not having a good night shooting the basketball. So the karma is true. And I'm sorry to put that dude out of work. But that does not mean that you can come on the program and take 5 minutes to tell a 15-second story. Let me repeat that. You cannot come on this show and take 5 minutes to tell a 15-second story. The way that story should have gone was, hey, Rome, yeah, listen, the reason I've been on hold, I don't care why you've been on hold that long, because you got too much time on your hands, obviously. If you're on hold for 2 hours, you have too much time on your hands. That story should have gone, hey, Rome, I worked the game, I saw Terry Stotts, and I said, hey, coach, jungle karma. And he smiled. Thanks, Rome. Have a great day. And then there would have been no Jaws music. I wouldn't have had to waste time. I mean, damn, I couldn't even get to the smack-off take because of that call. But I felt badly that a guy had been on hold for 2 hours, so I wanted to make it right. You won it. You won it. You won the day, bro. Because you ripped my last segment from me. I guess that'll jump the day. So tomorrow when I talk about the smack-off odds, it'll be 38 days until the smack-off itself. I do have a question. Steve, Stucknut, do the odds change? And if the odds change, the change is based on what? How you determine them to be? Because I know it's not money that's changing hands that are changing the odds. So what would it be? You got something to say, Hawk? Let's go to the huge call. Remote controls. Are they taking over your living room? Then get Control Center by Cavo, the one universal remote that manages all of your content. Shop right now and save $10 on the Control Center Starter Pack Bundle with a one-year service plan and the promo code ROME at CAAVO.com, CAAVO.com.
Well, I saw Stucknut posted his smack-off odds the other night, and obviously that dope knows nothing about the show. He's got those two Canadian lames going off at 10-1. I wouldn't touch those hacks at 100-1. I've already referenced how pathetic Matt's top 10 list was last year. But Tyler's fit alarm gimmick doesn't get nearly the ridicule it deserves. That thing went over like a wet fart at a funeral. Cue that thing up, Elvy. Clones need to be reminded how historically terrible it was. Now I realize you feel pity for Canada, Jim. So I know you're going to take their smack-off calls, but could you kindly take them back-to-back at the bottom of hour two? That'll give me a chance to drop a nice mid-show deucer and restock the cooler without missing a friggin' thing. And I couldn't believe Caleb in Green Bay opened at 5-1. That's a bigger stretch than that doughboy trying to squeeze into a pair of size 48 Levi's. You got no shot, Webb. Maybe you should just bring your mom on again this year, fat boy. And she can apologize for being such a failure as a parent. In summary, Jim, the Stucknut smack-off odds are a complete friggin' joke. And it's no surprise when you consider the source. As a favor to the clones, I'll be tweeting out the real smack-off odds a little later in the show. War John Beeline getting a huge payday. He's definitely earned it. War Steve Kerr being just like me, an effing giant who's mastered his craft. Thanks for the vine, Jim. I'm out.
That's Rick in Buffalo.
I think what I'm supposed to say is thank you. I'm out.
And boy, Rick, my thanks to Ben Golver. Back in hour number one, we had John Urschel, former NFL player and an MIT student and mathematician slash author. Scott Frost, head football coach at Nebraska. And it is obviously smack-off season. My thanks to the XR4TI. Thank you for listening. Have a great, great day. We're back at it strong tomorrow. See you then.